All right, Rossi, it is the week of WrestleMania. I think it's even going on.
Whoa, whoa, WrestleMania. Ah, oh, that's the best.
Oh, maybe I'll cut a video to that this week in preparation in pumping us up. But who would be your WrestleMania opponent in the DSG? I think we already know, but just
Oh,
want to make sure. Are you going to
well,
call anybody out, though? You could call somebody out.
yeah, no, I would. So that's a really good question. If I had to go one-on-one with someone in the DSG, I feel like it's like a tag team thing, right? So like, let me do this in two steps. One,
Right.
tag team match, Billy D, Jason Rossi, the PCP boys. I would want to take on Dork. You gotta
All
go
right.
for the, you go for the top dog.
Oh yeah.
Right, you know, it's the DSG, it's the Dorkshire Gooniverse. No disrespect to the Mac and Goo or
Well, they are the tag team champions in their
well,
WrestleMania or No Mercy, and we are our own reigning
yes,
champions of, so it could be a little bit of a battle of the belts.
it's kind of where I was leading to. I go, I'm not real, I'm more of a lover than a fighter. I could talk a little trash, I can take a little bit, I'll cry about it when no one's watching, but I would want to take them on in a tag team. And while this may sound odd, because obviously you think Fryer, right? Like, oh, Fryer, you want to take on him. Nah, like, if this is a major marquee event, I think there could be people spending money. Now, we have no real beef, so it's not like I have any disrespect towards this person, but I feel like people would be really intrigued in a Rossi versus Mac
Oh,
battle.
I mean, that's old school booking right there. Big versus big.
I think it would be in a gigantic battle of people that get criticized for their takes, some for reason, some for not. I think me versus Mac would be a battle of a lifetime.
I'd pay to see that. I would pay to see that happen.
It'd be a good time.
I think Mac has you by a few inches and probably a few pounds.
Oh, I think he's much taller than me. I'm like five. Well, I don't kayfabe and D and the DK fam. I'm 3 foot tall, but I'm like 5'8", and I think Mac is going to be like about 6 feet,
Yeah, he's pushing
easy.
six, I think.
Because I saw him in a picture with Keith recently, and Keith towers over me when we work together. Like literally, I feel like I'm at his nips. So yeah, I think Mac would. It would be. I'd have to outwit him, and I don't know if I could do that either.
Yeah, well, in a battle of wits, you might be a little unarmed there.
Yeah, tough one. What about you,
All right.
Bill?
So tag team wise, I would probably do the same thing as you. You got to call out the champs, the big name on the marquee. I think I'm going to call out Wes of the Change My Mind podcast, because he seems to be taking umbrage quite a bit lately with my poker playing and downplaying the skill behind it, even though I think I won like 26 hands last time, 46 the time before that, and 26 while everybody else is winning three, four, and five hands.
Damn, Bill, you're like a stacked girl. 36,
Well,
24, 36.
that's a winning hand.
It does make me think. Like, if I had to
Ow.
actually, I want to kind of see you versus Goo. I know I just said Mac, but I just feel like there's something there. Like, not no. Like, again, this is
We're
wrestling,
about the
so I'm not.
same height. We're about the same size, I think.
Yeah, both probably the more. Well, I know Wes and Fryer will take umbrages, but like, feel like you talk more about. Well, aside from, I think Fryer talks about like his. Like 400 pound lifts. Not he didn't lift 400
Thousand
pounds, but
pound club.
1,000 pound club, whatever it is. I'm you know what? Me versus Max, 1,000 pound club as well. Or maybe go three way with Shine. That's a
Me
thousand
and
pound
Goo
club.
are probably the most fake strong. Like we probably look like we could be strong, but I'm definitely not strong.
Yeah, strong enough. But like, okay, let's very quickly build it out then. So who else, what else would be the card? So if we you go you versus Wes, let's say I'm versus Mac. You could tag team other people. So we saw Joe, Shime,
Oh, Joe and
Keith,
Shime
Davey.
should be a tag team. Or you could do Joe versus Shime.
Oh,
That
the
might be a nice
natural
kickoff
disasters.
match.
Hold on. The
Yeah.
natural disasters. Shime and Joe versus.
I don't think it would work. Not enough people on the card. We got to go singles. Singles all the way
Okay.
through. And then
We could.
maybe we can do one of those things where we have a tag team match early in the night and then we also wrestle later. So let's
Oh,
book
I like it.
Shime and Doc in the opener, because that's
Okay.
like the JBL Finley match that we were talking about
Yep.
yesterday.
Yep. Just
And
beating the
then
crap out of each other.
main event, man, maybe Keith versus Fryer. I know they don't like each other, right? And they're both
Don't
college athletes, so you got some
know.
athleticism there. That might not be a bad main event.
Okay. I still think me and Davey, there's something there too. There's still lingering stories there. But if you think, well, if they're going to go tag team match early, do you go Chime and Joe versus. Do you go with Mac and Goo? Do we see what that looks like?
I think we need to start writing this stuff down because I'm already getting it messed up in my head. But I
I'll
think,
send it to you.
all right. But I think if we did that, if we did Joe and Shime in the kickoff, me versus Wes, you versus Mac, That would leave what? Goo?
Goo.
Davey?
Goo and Davey. What a random team. Davey just always tagging himself in. Goo consistently getting frustrated by being on the side. Oh, I could see it. We've seen tag team matches like that before. And then the winner of that match, whoever wins
that match. This is the winner of us and Keith. All right, no, this is all messed up.
No, it's different. You're going. I'm just looking at a lineage. At the end of the day, Fryer doesn't. You know, if you want Fryer versus Keith, that's fine. Or the winner of those tag matches face each other. So they have to team to then face each other one on one.
You're a bad booker.
I have a lot of boogers, by the way.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. Billy Boy, we have ourselves an interesting one tonight. Not going full intro on you on there. This is the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Don't forget to subscribe on all podcast platforms. I am Jason Rossi. You can be followed across all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. You can follow our show, the Pop Culture Pile Driver, at Pop Culture PD. Smoking them over there as we gain those follows like thick boys. Make gains. And if you hit that follow button, you'll become gainier. It's true. You just whey protein, isolate right in your system. Bill is my tag team partner right here on the podcast sphere. He goes by at BillyD2411 across all social media platforms. He is Billy D. What's going on, dude?
Hello. Yeah, and I'm your tag team partner in the fake wrestling sphere in N64 and in virtual bookies.
Champion. Yeah, that was right. Well, listen, in time, I would have done it better. But that's the point of it. I will say this, Bill. We really are. The fact that we have those titles on that, it was WrestleMania 2000 from two absolute cheaters. Mm-hmm. And
well, because they were using created guys, and actually we used The Rock and Stone Cold.
I don't like this created guy, and he has a finisher that just punched to submission. Like, no thanks. I'm out on that. But we did it. We beat him, and then somebody's uncle showed up, and the party was ended. So we will forever
DQ.
Be.
You can't lose the title on a DQ.
You really can't. You can't do it, or a count out, or anything. You need pinfalls or submission. But here today, Bill, we are going to talk a little three count. Haven't done one of these in a while since, like, Money in the Bank last year. So we're going to talk best WrestleManias, your three favorites, my three favorites, or at least three that you think are highly suggestible. So six total you will get if you're in the mood to binge some WrestleManias, as it is WrestleMania week 2021. Fans in attendance as we record this live for NXT, which was not expecting. And then you'll also have fans in attendance for WrestleMania 37. If you are so inclined to be checking out, you can check it out on the Peacock. You won't be able to pause, so start live. It's like watching live television, even though live television you can rewind. Very really backwards.
So dumb.
Yeah. So, Bill, do you want to start with one of yours? You want me to start?
I will go first, and I will probably go in order. Why not? I will go with
all good.
WrestleMania 17.
Woo!
This is
wow, not for the big one.
Not the greatest of all time, but it's close. A lot of people would consider
it. A lot of
close.
People say it is. It's like arguably the it was the combination of popularity. WCW ended earlier in the week, so I think that's why it gets all the credit for being quote unquote the greatest.
I mean, I think the thing that people remember the most about this is Stone Cold and the heel turn. You have Triple H and The Undertaker, which I think is their strongest match, even though they have three of them at WrestleMania.
Total three, yes. Yeah, they didn't meet up again until a decade later.
Yeah, an 18-minute classic. One of Triple H's best matches. I mean, when Bret Hart says maybe a good match Triple H has ever been in, this is one of them. Granted, it's with The Undertaker. But que sera, sera. They also had the gimmick battle royal, which I found kind of endearing. And
I
that
loved it.
MF-er, brother love, only got to cut a promo on his way to the ring. Of course. I mean, he just can't get enough of himself. So that guy stinks.
I got a fun fact about that match very quickly.
I'll go for it.
Do you know why the Iron Sheik won that match?
Because he wouldn't have been in it otherwise?
Because he couldn't take a bump. Couldn't get thrown over the top. This was actually Pritchard has announced this,
Sheiky
JR.
Baby.
They tried to find a way to like get him out of the match in every way. His medical conditions couldn't do it. Sheik wins.
I kind of love that though, because the Iron Sheik out of all of those guys in that ring, I think was by far and away the biggest star. I mean, he was a legend in the time, one of the all-time great wrestlers. So, and still going strong, insulting people on Twitter today like nobody's business. So good for him. I think the other thing people remember this for is the crazy tables, ladders, and chairs tag team match that was just, as JR would say, a human car wreck. A lot of, my God, he's broken in half. Of course, Edge and Christian defeated the Dudleys. You know, Spike getting in there, taking ridiculous bumps as well. I think even Rhino was out there at one point.
And Lita, the famous Lita, rips her shirt off, gets speared by Edge. They all had people, you're right, they all had like a associate with them. And literally the bar has never been risen to that level like we saw during the TLC 2, technically.
I mean, I think it's, is it Jeff Hardy? No, it's Matt Hardy, and I forget who takes the bump with him to the side of the ring where they go through like nine tables.
Bubba Ray Dudley.
Oh my God, that is just insanity. Jeff Hardy, I think it was the first time. I know he did the Swanton off of the really tall ladder, but then he did this one on the side of the ring that a few people have done since. But the way he did it into, I think, Spike and somebody else, I don't know. He looked like he killed himself. And then he takes another ridiculous bump in the ring when he gets speared by Edge hanging off of the titles. And Edge said that was the most dangerous thing he's ever done because when he landed, his head went straight into the mat. And if you go back and watch it, he sells it. But I think it's half sell, half like, oh shit, like I'm hurt. So dude, this is just a spectacle. This is something that you can pluck up on Daily Motion probably if you don't have the WWE Network. Spend the 20 minutes or whatever.
It's Peacock now, Bill Peacock.
Yeah, whatever. But no, it's 15 minutes of just lit on fire classicness. And this was this had to follow Shane and Vince, which I think was the first time we saw the coast to coast. Shane was going crazy. This was the Trish Stratus, Mr. McMahon,
Linda McMahon
crap.
This is the biggest pop, like Road Warrior pop for when Linda McMahon simply stands out of a chair. It's insane.
But
like,
nuts.
This is where also I believe that we'll get to some others throughout this, but like every single match, most matches, should I say, had long term storybooking in it. And I don't mean like week to week, but like, even that TLC, like they had a TLC match at SummerSlam the year before. It was just a ladder match. It was technically different. Things just migrated. I'm sorry, the year before at WrestleMania 2000. And it's just things just migrated and found their way back together. Just so perfectly told throughout this entire thing. And again, Linda McMahon literally standing out of a chair. The crowd goes bonkers. I had goosebumps as a, whatever, 18-year-old.
Yeah, I was, I think, I'm always the age of it. So I was 17. Yeah, and then the only other one that I think really Chris Jericho and William Regal actually was a pretty damn good singles match to kick it off at 7 minutes, so I like that, actually. Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, good, not great. A lot of holdy hold, a lot of, you know, old school wrestling. They can go, and it was an entertaining wrestler's match, but I didn't find it to be, like, blow me away.
See, I really like that match for what exactly it was. If you look throughout the card, you had a lot of different like brawly matches. So I wanted that. Like, that's what I think wrestling is like, why this is considered so great, is because you have a match like that in the middle of or early on in your card. It's just two mat guys that are like showing the technical side, where then you had like Shane and Vince, a spectacle. TLC was a spectacle. Undertaker, Triple H was a spectacle. Obviously, just the aura and all night you're waiting for that Austin versus Rock match. So I liked having that the way it was.
Yeah, and you know, the Austin versus Rock match, I mean, gaga, I mean, like you wouldn't believe in that one. overselling, finishers, it was just, it was bonkers. But the only reason I give low marks to Angle and Benoit, just because when I watch one of those matches, it's got to be like a Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, perfectly wrestled classic. It was a little sloppy, just a little. Yeah. But like, it's a great like wrestler's match, you know, it's not terrible. You definitely wouldn't skip it.
No, I agree with you there. Any other points for WrestleMania 17?
I think that's it. Pretty great one. Grandmaster Sexay, I believe, was in, you know, X-Pac, you know, Chris Jericho early, Taz, APA, Rank the Censor, like just giving you a little flavor of the era, the good father with Steven Richards. So it was, you know, the height of the
hardcore
attitude.
Match, though. The hardcore match was incredible, too. Kane, Big Show, Raven.
Oh, yes. It was pretty good.
That's why I think that's where Angle and Benoit didn't feel as lowly to me, but also there was so much hype around everything else, I could feel what you're saying. Bill, for me, I'll start off with one that maybe people don't look at as one of the best WrestleManias, But the aura of this match, the final match here, the main event, and one other match maybe goes down as the greatest WrestleMania match of all time. For me, it's WrestleMania 3. It had a 12-match card. It was interesting, not great. Obviously, when it comes to this, we'll get to them. The Ricky Steamboat, Randy Savage. That was for the Intercontinental title. And then Hogan versus Andre, the slam heard around the world. Great storyline there. You had such matches as Butch Reed versus Coco Beware. Everyone was dropping their pants for that one. Honky Tonk Man defeated Jake Roberts. That was actually a pretty good match. The Sheik, who we talked about with Nikolai Volkoff, defeated the Killer Bees. Another random match there. The Dream Team of Greg Valentine and Brutus Beefcake. Come on, tell me you're not signed up for Peacock to watch that. Took on the Rougeau brothers. Roddy Piper, Adrian Adonis, Harley Race with the Fabulous Moolah defeated Junkyard Dog. Hillbilly Jim was involved, defeating King Kong Bundy, Little Tokyo, and Lord Littlebrook. There was like a little guys match. And then the Hart Foundation was involved in this one as well. But again, the reason this one...
Two matches.
It's Ricky Steamboat, 15 minutes, versus Randy Savage in one of the most complete bell-to-bell, one of the greatest matches outside of the interference or the involvement of George the Animal Steel. Everything else is iconic about this match. So damn good. So much emotion. Randy Savage is such a great heel, and people don't obviously remember him. They remember the tassels, the flair, the ooh, yeah. But this guy, since day one, early career, was such a damn good heel. And him
more near falls than me on a pair of hockey skates. I mean, this thing was
true.
Back and forth, great wrestled match, still held in high esteem. This is talked about in one of the all-time matches. I think it's been surpassed in days since just because people are a little bit more athletic, a little bit more high-flyery, but for the time, it was the best of the best. So yeah,
and then Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, hard to watch in some ways, not due to with just like a slow plodding match, but my Lord, when Hogan lifts up Andre in the way literally the earth shifted. And that is like the moment. WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 2. Well, WrestleMania 1 was obviously huge. WrestleMania 2 is junk. It's like unwatchable. WrestleMania
entrances in this one. Fantastic.
Oh, with the little carts. The carts I was getting. There's so much to this that makes it watchable. There's no big stages. The music's kind of low and just in the arena, not piped into like the television feed. It is just so entertaining. But again, when you see Andre and Hogan in that ring, and again, it is slow. Andre was nowhere near the worker he was 3 years earlier. But the storyline of Hogan, you know, him and Andre were friends, and Andre decided, you know, turn on because he got jealous and wanted the title. Hogan overcomes it, slams and wins it at the end. It is, I still think, the most iconic finish to a WrestleMania.
And, you know, the most iconic moment I've ever seen. It's probably used still in every promo. The shot of Andre being carted away with drinks being tossed at him.
Yeah.
That is an amazing shot with a good old my guy, Bobby Heenan, the greatest of all time at color commentary in the history of Western civilization. But I will say I think Hogan exaggerates the story that he didn't know if Andre was going to let him win walking into the ring. He's going to let him slam him.
Yeah. He grabbed his arm.
Come on.
Slam me, brother. Please.
Like, that's all a bunch of malarkey.
I think there's some truth in there, but I think he's, you know, when one party, you know, God rest his soul, big ups to Andre. But I think that there's, you know, a little bit of being able to tell this and make it seem a lot more epic than it was.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% on that.
What's your next one?
My next one, I think, is widely considered. Did I lose it? I lost it, but I'll pull it up in a second. It's WrestleMania 19. It's my favorite one of all time. One of my favorite wrestled matches of all time, Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho. I watched that yesterday. Still holds up 22 minutes, an absolute banger from start to finish. Shawn Michaels had a little trouble getting his guns to shoot to start the match. But,
it's hilarious.
Nevertheless, a great match, great told story in the ring. We mentioned Matt Hardy version 1. I messed that up yesterday. But again, just showing he was ahead of the curve with that kind of stuff. What was it? 18 years ago now, Rey Mysterio, Undertaker, and Big Show versus A-Train with Nathan Jones. No. Kind of a train wreck. No.
It was Undertaker was supposed to be with Nathan Jones versus the Big Show and A-Train. They found out Nathan Jones was trash. They take him out of the match. He just comes
spin kick.
Spin kick. It was honestly right up there with like the Giant Gonzalez, the King Kong Bundy match on the Undertaker streak. It's just really bad.
And then you had a real women's match for once. You had Victoria, who's fantastic. Trish got the win right when Trish was starting to get, you know, some real wrestling chops. And you throw Jazz in there, who can bring the heat as well. Yeah. And then Triple H versus, and, you know, you know, Team Angle, obviously, versus who was it?
19, they would have faced, it wasn't the Los Guerreros?
Chris Benoit and Rhino.
Sure.
And the Los Guerreros.
Yeah, okay. Los Guerreros. I remember they were in the match.
So Chris Benoit, Rhino versus the Los Guerreros. Kind of a throwaway match, but I do like Charlie Haas and Shelton Beasley there. But here's my big bone to pick with this is Triple H versus Booker T. This, to me, should have been the crowning achievement. This should have been the first black champion. You know, Kofi Kingston did it, 16 years later?
Yeah.
So it's kind of depressing that Triple H chose to bring out the shovel here. And Barry, what I said yesterday, and I still believe, you know, one day later, that Booker T is the most undervalued, I'd say, wrestler in the last like 25 years. I think this guy was fantastic. It was time to shine. He had a great story going into this. You know, some of the things that Triple H and Ric Flair were posturing weren't great towards him. If you kind of look back at it now, probably.
Oh, no, Bill, you didn't hear the story. They just meant because he was like jokey. He was like, he played a character. He wasn't a serious wrestler. They had nothing to do with skin tone or color or race. Yeah, okay. It's just you people.
which is hilarious to the fact that he didn't win. Like, I thought that would have solidified the win 100%, but Triple H brought out the shovel. He buried him. You got Hogan versus McMahon.
Well, hold on very quickly. 21 seconds. He hits the pedigree. Oh, doesn't pin Booker T till 21 seconds later.
Talk
one,
about
two,
a way to
three.
Bury a guy. Absolutely.
It was a WCW thing. They just, it's always been, whether, I don't think it's Booker T personally. They do this all the time to these guys. Just
Sting, Monday Night Wars, even though that was over years ago. Let's Sting get his friggin' win. Lot of stupid stuff with that really pissed me off. Hogan versus McMahon, I felt like this was totally unnecessary.
I agree. It's a fun and it's such a spectacle, but this led to, like, as much as I liked Vince being involved with he obviously McMahon in every corner of 2017, he was, you know, in a match against Shane. This in the Michaels match, like, we could have found, I get he's such a great heel, but we could have found something better for him. Even Hogan, like, at this time, that roster, you could have done something. You could have just made McMahon endorse somebody. Like, this is where I get a little frustrated.
Hogan to Rock. We got Hogan to Rock. We never got Hogan Austin, which I never wanted to see because I felt like they never jived anyways. And, like, I think both of them wanted that match. But to me, it never called for it. Hogan Rock, I think, made a little more sense at the time. But
I
even then,
the charisma,
even then, I could care less about that. To me, Hogan was dead and buried when he came back to WWE. I really didn't, you know, care. I'm glad I got to see him, you know, as an adult in his entrance when we saw him, I believe, at SummerSlam. But other than that, meh. Then The Rock defeated Stone Cold, you know, getting his win back. Pretty good match. This is the one where, you know, he puts on the vest. It's a pretty good match to watch. It's like 17-ish minutes. I don't think it's as good as 17, but it's pretty good. I mean,
I don't think it's as good as 15 or 17, but it's Austin's last match, and in very popular story, he knew it was going to be his last match. He didn't want people to know. He didn't want to go out. He may have thought to come back. Had a panic attack overnight. Mm-hmm. Who hasn't been there before? And they were supposed to be the main event. It was booked to be the main event of the show, which is very crazy looking back, especially like watching some Raws and SmackDowns leading into it. Like, clearly Lesnar and Angle were getting the main storyline. But yeah, Rock and Austin was going to be the last match because once Vince and Stone Cold had the conversations that were going on last with the situation, he didn't even know how he'd be able to perform. So he said he requested, don't put us on last. He felt so much pressure that, like, this is my last match. I'm going to be in the main event. I'm gonna lose. I'm going out of my back. Like, don't do it. So very interesting, but the match was fine. It was a very entertaining match. The Rock was next level ridiculous because it's Hollywood Rock.
I think you undersell both of these guys' wrestling skill. At least you have in the past. But I think I've
done it with Stone Cold. I don't think I've done it with The Rock.
I think The Rock is, you know, obviously the most electrifying man in sports entertainment, and he is that, you know, to me, John Cena level performer. And I know some people might be like, "Huh," but, like, I think, you know, that's like the top of the top of the top. And, you know, Stone Cold, when he was going good, obviously he wasn't going as good, but I think, you know, 15, you know, WrestleMania is what was it, when he faced Bret Hart, 13?
Yeah, 13 up.
13 to like 16, one of the top performers in the company, just because he brought it. I mean, his style was a little bit, you know, smash him up, but like it was just good, clean wrestling.
Well, think about it. Stone Cold had Bret Hart, then he had the Michaels match, just like the opponents. Obviously, he was 15 The Rock, so those are your three consecutive. Then, obviously, he was out for 2000, 17 The Rock, 18 Scott Hall, different time, weird situation.
It's a match, though.
It is. 19, his final against The Rock, and then he's just involved in, he's a referee for other matches, including Goldberg versus Lesnar that next year. It's just his in-ring prowess against other opponents at in the biggest stage, at the biggest whatever. Like, he was facing, I think, Savio Vega at 12. Like, he's had some in-betweens, but, like, all historically, like, either good wrestlers or out-of-this-world characters or major title matches.
Yeah, and then what I will call the Maniac match, I guess. I lost it here for a second. Brock Lesnar defeating Kurt Angle, kind of the anointing of Big Brock here. He went all out, nearly killed himself.
Literally. Literally almost died.
Well, it's a shooting star press, right, that he did that he almost fucking destroyed his neck on. And I believe, out of nowhere, which I love. I love that about him. And he's a crazy MF-er as it is. And I believe this was the WrestleMania where Kurt Angle was, like, all, you know, out of his mind. And, like, they told him, basically, you shouldn't be wrestling in this match. But he kind of, you know, did everything he could, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, to make himself available for this one. So it's a pretty spirited match. It's pretty sloppy, but it's a fun watch.
Kurt Angle has a new podcast out. He's now teaming up with Conrad Thompson. They do him on Sundays.
How many podcasts does fucking Conrad have?
He has like eight. He has like eight, dude. It's incredible. And he has a mortgage company. Good for him, dude. But anyway, so he spoke about this. And yeah, Vince McMahon, about 4 weeks before, they were canceling the match. Kurt, his neck was screwed. And so that's why they had a match on SmackDown a few weeks previous, end up doing the Eric Angle 2.0, where it wasn't really Kurt. And so he begged Vince, let me get to WrestleMania. Let me get this main event. Let me get this. Obviously not knowing it was going to be the main event. But yeah, he pleaded and pleaded. And eventually Vince said, all right. And like, he was really banged up. And he, you know, after this match went away for just a little bit. So to heal up, because he was, I think he had a neck issue. He was all screwed up. And obviously never, you know, really, truly healed.
No, I mean, he was out of his mind on like a lot of stuff too. So credit for him to even get in the ring on this one. And I think afterwards they were saying like he was all messed up at the hotel and still wanted to go to all the after parties.
Listen, when you're riding high, baby. So yeah, WrestleMania 19. So I believe the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
It's a fun watch.
Oh, it's incredible. All right. For me, next one will be what I've been considering. You've heard, if you listen to our top 11 opening matches, the last great WrestleMania, WrestleMania 31, kicks off with the seven-man IC title ladder match. And the year before, Daniel Bryan captures the WWE title. This one kicks off Daniel Bryan capturing the Intercontinental title. You got great behind-the-scenes with like Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, and different, you know, former stars at the time. Your second match on the card is Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, a very underappreciated, great match. Memorable.
Oh, this is a phenomenal match.
The RKO is what everyone talks about, but in watching the match, great story coming in. Don't forget the whole backdrop to this event, daytime, West Coast. This is at where the 49ers play in, I believe, Santa Clara. Not,
you know, Candlestick Park?
used to be one day. But yeah, I like that there's sun throughout this. It just gives a different element to most WrestleManias, since like WrestleMania 9 was like this. Early Levi WrestleMania Stadium. 19. Levi Stadium, you're right. Nailed it. Orton Rollins was great. Then you get, honestly, third match on the card, Triple H versus Sting. Now, regardless of the outcome, what a spectacle of a match. What a rewatchable, fun
match. It was cool.
Match. It literally, Triple H, Sting, Triple H always on his game at WrestleMania. You had the NWO, you had DX. It doesn't make any real sense, but like just to watch and have like the casual fan, this is the last moment a real true casual fan got to enjoy a wrestling match, because it was all the old school stuff where guys still look decent. Kevin Nash did the funny thing where he pretended like he tore his quad. Hilarious. Taking a bump. X-Pac does the great thing where he comes out technically as a member of DX, rips off the shirt. He has the NWO shirt. He's in the Hall of Fame with both of them now. You know, again, longest match on the card. Triple H, who would have thunk? But this match is such a spectacle. Triple H going over, don't understand. He also messed up his leg pretty badly in this match. Had that like severe bruising. But again, incredible like watch. Then you had AJ Lee and Paige versus the Bella Twins. AJ Lee's last WrestleMania. Nothing really special in that match.
My girl, though.
Cena versus Rusev. The match is really good, but dude, the tank.
Comes the tank out of the tank.
Give the man all the awards. Everything that has happened to him since has been such a weird ride.
Have you heard what him and Lana did in the tank?
They played Hokey Pokey, I heard, and turned themselves around, because that's what it's all about. Yeah, allegedly a little
tank job.
Yeah, a little, hey, who wouldn't? Honestly, kudos to them if that is true, because maybe it could also just be funny for Twitch sake, because that's where like, he revealed it. But like, dude, let's be real. That is an amazing opportunity that you're not getting every day. And so you have to. I don't even care if it was just a handy. I don't even care if it was just a rub over the top. I don't care what happened. Just as long as you did anything like that, you're amazing. So yeah, Cena, and that's just such a, and that started obviously the US Open Challenge. Really wish Rusev did go over in one way, but Cena paid off the victory. This was not.
Oh yeah, it was well worth it. I agree. Rusev deserved to win it, and maybe Cena wins it Monday night. But yeah, it kicked off probably the most entertaining matches on Raw we've had in decades.
Yeah, the Raws following WrestleMania 31 for like the next 3-5 months were excellent with John Cena. You had this is when like early NXT calls were happening. So like you want to see like who's Neville going to be in the ring with, because Neville's awesome and like stuff like that. So you had a lot to look forward to in a 2-hour Raw. Then you had Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, super underwhelming. Bray Wyatt breaking his ankle, I think, in like warm-ups. Undertaker getting the entrance during the day was kind of odd, but was also cool. First time we had seen him since the streak was broken the year before. And then you have the main event of Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, which everybody was like, just like, this is going to be the worst ever. Brock allegedly leaving.
It was a great match.
Well, it was. Brock was allegedly leaving until 6 days before in that Raw. The reports came out that he re-signed. Nobody wanted Roman Reigns anywhere near this because it was still Daniel Bryan's time. That Royal Rumble's an embarrassment. The Rock's face getting booed still to this day, an all-timer. And then the heist of the century as the match, there's an incredible spear.
Also, Suplex City, I believe, was coined.
He said it. That's what he said. He goes, Suplex City, bitch. And there it was. Nailed it. So that match really.
I mean, the Seth Rollins moment is one of the all-time moments.
But just the entrances alone. Roman Reigns getting booed out of the building. Lukewarm cheers for Brock Lesnar. Then as the match goes on, Brock starts getting more cheers because the fans just were not. Like Asuka, people aren't ready.
He suplexed him into submission, basically.
And you know what? Kudos to Roman Reigns. Like all the dislike of the work and the booking of him, but him, like he took a beating in this match.
Oh yeah, always does.
Like what John Cena did months before, but like Roman Reigns was supposed to be the guy. The reason the streak was ended the year before was for this moment, for like who's gonna then beat Brock, because Brock is like the unstoppable force. And you had him and Reigns just for like 15 minutes just murder each other in the ring. Reigns hits a couple spears where I started to get really nervous that he was gonna win. Hits one more spear, they're both laid out. Rollins music hits, cashes in, incredible stomp. Just the sequence. He stomps Lesnar. He stomps Reigns, throws him out of the ring, goes to stomp Lesnar, which what are you doing? Lesnar gets him up in an F5, spear from Reigns, Rollins calls down. Curb stomp on Reigns, 1-2-3, grabs him by the head, does that, we all know it's storytelling, grabs him, says something real because it's real in that moment, basically tells him, like, love you, thank you, one day I hope to return the favor, runs up the ramp with the belt, spins the belt around like a goddamn superhero, and the thing goes off the air, incredible. Again, also post-Raw, you have all this dynamic playing out, it's just so good.
Fantastic. One of the greatest moments, and it's just an iconic visual from him running down to him spinning the belt, him cashing it in even. He's so animated. And I'll go to mine, and I know you're going to blast it, but I think it's much like the WrestleMania 3 moment here, and it's a little fresher in my mind, so recency bias. And, of course, it's WrestleMania 35, and really, to me, it's for two matches. It's for Becky Lynch.
It was 17 goddamn matches. It better not be
16. 16 matches, buddy.
Does that include pre-show?
Yep. Four pre-shows.
Okay. Not bad. Not bad.
12 on the main card. And yeah, that's a lot.
12 on the main card. That's insane.
Opened up with Seth Rollins. Opened up Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar.
2 years ago today, by the way. 2 years ago today.
Oh, yeah. I saw a lot of those posts. But you know what? 2-minute match. Seth Rollins wins. Kind of loved it. Kind of loved it.
I will say this. It starts off Hogan, Alexa Bliss is the host. She does, I can make a moment like this. Hulk Hogan comes out, cool. Paul Heyman just starts storming down. So you're like, this was a very cool moment. I will definitely give a lot of credit to WWE because, like, what's Paul Heyman doing?
We're not first, we're last. We're not last, we're first.
Yeah, that's what he said. He goes, I went back there, saw we weren't going on last, so we're doing this now. And it got the crowd really hyped. Paul Heyman can hold a crowd in the palm of his hand. So, yeah, as you mentioned, yeah, then Seth Rollins won the title there. Kind of a crappy match, but a cool situation. Hits him like two low blows, too.
He got the jobber treatment. He got the jobber. 3 minutes or less, your pizza's free, as Nestle would say. And then AJ Styles, Randy Orton. AJ Styles win. Pretty good match. I don't think it's, you know, a John Cena AJ Styles classic, but these two, I think, had their best match on SmackDown, actually.
They put killer promos into this match. The story itself was great. The King of the Indies versus, like, the legend killer. And I thought that was great.
The promos going into it were absolute fire because nobody cuts a heel promo like Randy Orton. And this is when AJ Styles had some spunk to him as that kind of, you know, not like the kitty baby face, but a little harder edge during these promos.
Yep.
That runs the camp, but.
No, and it's weird. Now that I think about it, AJ Styles debuted at WrestleMania 32, second match. Was in the first match at WrestleMania 33, then back to 34. He should have been the main event, was in like the co-main event. Now here he is back early in the card against Randy Orton. All great opponents. But yeah, this is one of those matches you would think would be like, oh man, everyone's talking about that. But it was just lacking a little bit of that spice. And also there was a weird thing in the arena with lights. So people were like chanting about lights half the time. So that distracted the wrestlers.
Fatal four-way tag match next because they kind of get everybody in there. My guys, the Usos, the greatest tag team ever. One, nothing to really write home about. Shane versus The Miz. I believe this is when you took your bathroom break.
Both matches. Both matches I had to leave with all due respect to Aleister Black and Ricochet, who ended – were the first time ever they were defended, Bill. They went for every tag team title. They went for the Raw tag team titles early in the week. They were at NXT TakeOver New York going for those tag titles in an excellent match. And then against the Viking Raiders. And then they faced in this match for the SmackDown tag titles. Brutal. Didn't see this. Shane versus The Miz is still one of the dumbest storylines in the history of wrestling. I'm sorry. They have not done any favors to Shane McMahon, regardless of what you think of him.
And this is when The Miz was kind of hot, and they just absolutely squashed him.
Yeah, they made him a baby face. And his big bad heel was Shane McMahon?
Yeah, terrible. Didn't like it. Although was this when we got the really weird Shane McMahon, like, when he got hit, like, when he got thrown into the car? Was this that era?
That was Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles.
Oh, that was Shane AJ. Okay. Basically the same thing. They just throw Shane in these random spots that suck.
Against high opponents, too. He's Vince 2.0.
It's so bad. Next, my girls, the Iconics, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce in a kind of meh, nothing match here versus.
How dare you? This was the first ever defense of the world renowned women's tag team titles at WrestleMania. Everybody's clamoring for those now, Bill.
Nope, sorry. Are they really? I have no idea.
No, they decided to make another women's tag belts in NXT. There's two sets of women's tag belts in the company. What are we doing?
You just don't have enough women and you don't devote enough time. It's just you got to give them more respect on the card. I mean, they used to do it at NXT. It seems like since they went to 2 hours, it's gotten worse.
Yeah, it's real bad.
So we'll go to what I think should have been the main event because it had such an underswell. A groundswell leading into it and kind of stole it from what we'll get to talk about the main event, the actual main event in a second, if I can speak. But Kofi Kingston, you know, with the New Day in his corner and Daniel versus Daniel Bryan with Rowan in his corner. Daniel Bryan, the hottest heel in the business at this point, you know, the angry vegan was just lighting the world on fire. And Kofi Kingston, ironically, had the exact same type of storyline heading into this WrestleMania as Daniel Bryan did in WrestleMania 30. He was the underdog. Vince refused to give him the shot. Just great storytelling. Kofi wins in what's, I think, a phenomenal match. I mean, Kofi, to me, as a wrestler, sometimes has those like soft sells of his moves. He gave it his all in this one. All of it looked great. You know, obviously, anytime Daniel Bryan steps in the ring, it's a hell of a match. 23 minutes. So the first African-American black WWE champion ever. A great guy to put the belt on. And it couldn't have been a better moment. And I think that's where most WrestleManias would end at friggin' 10 matches. But We get a 1 minute squash match of Samoa Joe just beating the crap out of Rey Mysterio.
Thankfully, yes. By the way, like we needed this because that was such an emotional high. And just to go into it, like that match right there is a top. If we do a top 11 WrestleMania matches, it's going to be hard to not have that on there. Just for the emotion, like in that crowd, people were jumping. Like people, it doesn't happen a lot, especially at WrestleManias because there's just so little time. But like this match probably ended at around 9 something. So we're like hours in. That was the big emotional high of the event.
And then the rest of the card, meh. Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre, Snoozefest, Triple H versus Batista, longest match on the card. Get that corn, as they say, out of my face. Baron Corbin versus beating Kurt Angle, I think, in what's his
and
final
his last match.
Which is fine. I think you go out looking at the lights, and I love Baron Corbin.
No, he's junk.
No, he's Baron not junk.
He's a fine heel, but he's not getting anybody to care. That's the only problem. It's nothing against him as a performer. This is WWE's booking of him. He has never been able to push any needles to really make you care about the people he is facing. It is a real damn shame that he gave this match, and it's their problem. They didn't spark this. This should have turned into – he should become like a JBL champion by now.
I would have thought because they're just bad bookers right now. Then the Demon, Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley. Who the hell cares about that match? Holy crap. And then – the main event, the first women to headline WrestleMania. Awesome. Huge deal. Great match. 21 minutes. Loved everything but the finish. Finish was a little clunky.
Yeah, I think. Weird.
Little schmozzy. I don't know if they intended it to be schmozzy, but they never followed up with the storyline. You know, champion. Becky Lynch coming in as the woman challenger here, Ronda as the Raw Women's Champion, Charlotte as the SmackDown Women's Champion, and you know, Becky famously having a terrible match versus Asuka at the Royal Rumble and going on to win it. And you know, the man storyline, probably the best women's storyline that there will ever be. I don't think it'll ever be topped just because it was so organic. The punch in the face made it all the more better. That iconic picture of her standing there bloodied and bashed, and then she ends the night, Becky two belts standing there. I love Becky Lynch. I think as a performer, the least of the three here, but that's not any slouch because you're probably talking about two of the best. You know, Ronda Rousey came on like Kurt Angle, and Charlotte Flair is the greatest woman to ever wrestle. So not a slouch to be the third, but sometimes she does leave a little bit to be desired in the ring, but a great way to end the night.
Yeah, the problem I say, and the reason this is laughable in my opinion, being there are so many clunks in this event. Aside from the women being the main event, this event would be blah. And I love
Had WrestleMania 3, which had two good matches in it.
But WrestleMania 3 is legitimately iconic. Like
this is legitimately iconic. This has one of the
maybe.
Kofi Kingston winning is an all-time moment, and Becky Lynch winning is an all-time moment.
Hulk Hogan slamming Andre will always be a moment. Kofi Kingston's already been forgotten. And that's not your fault. I'm not saying that's right. It's stupid because WWE doesn't play that their characters have a past. So when Kofi Kingston's being goofy, he never talks about, I was once WWE champion. Like,
I think it'll play a little better 10 years from now.
That's a good point.
You had two things that have never happened before. You had the women headline Becky won, and then you had your first African-American, you know, black champion crown.
Those are both 100%. I agree. I think there's just so much crap on this card, and being there, that Becky Lynch match didn't start till after midnight, which you had an exhausted crowd. So then that kind of clunky finish that you mentioned was just made it all more confusing. And by the time Becky's music hit, people wanted to leave. And you want to stand and celebrate. Kofi Kingston got the celebration as equal that what Becky should have got. You can't book two of those moments on the same card. It was nonsense. But at the end of the day, those moments are iconic. You are right. It was a lot of fun. But just being there, like, you want to circulate women. You want to get young girls interested in your product. You don't make a main event past midnight on a Sunday night. It was so dumb. So dumb. Oh, I get so pissed off about that. Like, really grinds my gears, if you couldn't already tell. All right, my last one here, WrestleMania 30. It is probably right up there, 17, 19, like arguably the best WrestleMania card you could turn on today, watch through. Only, Bill, including a pre-show, 8 matches.
Is this the last under 4-hour pay-per-view?
This might have been 4+, but it was that this 31 were like right in that 4+ range. Then we went into the 5-hour craziness and make me want to, you know, stab myself in the eye. But this match, obviously, the kickoff, Daniel Bryan, Triple H, one of the greatest opening matches we talked about, but also one of the greatest just storyline, everything matches incredible. The Shield versus Kane and the New Age Outlaws, just a nice little squash match, 3 minutes long. Fit it in anytime you want. The first ever Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal,
which is good.
Huge upset with Cesaro winning it, last eliminating the Big Show. Awesome. Awesome moment. Almost reminds me of when Bret Hart destroyed the Junkyard Dogs trophy.
Yeah,
Bret was a little sour. What do you expect?
Get them cakes.
Yeah. John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. Kind of a letdown match, to be honest. This absolutely should have been Bray Wyatt winning this one. Kind of got that win back 6 years later, but the match is good. It's just, will he, won't he? Will John Cena do the bad guy stuff? Never did.
No.
Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker. This match is 25 minutes long, and if you told me it was 6 minutes, I'd believe you.
Yeah, I don't remember anything but the shock of it, and it's a great, shocking moment. Unfortunately, I was not with you. I was at work, now that I think of it. I told people that night, I was like, I would bet the house that Undertaker wins this match because there was no storyline.
There was nothing at all. He just came out and like put a pen through Brock Lesnar's hand, which there was no wound the next week, but it was just bizarre. No storyline. It's just like, okay, you want Brock, you want Undertaker, great. And again, one of those calls that Vince McMahon allegedly made like the Saturday morning before and said, hey, I think this is where we want to go. And he kind of mapped out, you know, based on the reaction to Roman Reigns at the Rumble before, seeing how over he was, this is when he's got to look strong, you know, for the rest of the Shields for the remaining months. So this match, 25 minutes, though, it's like, yikes. And don't forget, Undertaker was out early, as you've heard through numerous interviews. So like 3 minutes into this match, he's toast.
Oh, he cracked his skull, yeah.
Yeah, bad news there. Then you had the AJ Lee beating everybody for the Divas title. Next night, you would lose it to Paige. But like you see, there's these ups, down, up, down. They place things so well. And again, not everybody got on the card. They had the two kind of, you had the women's Smaz match. You had a men's battle royal. That's it. You don't need 50 matches. And then you had Daniel Bryan defeating Batista and Randy Orton to capture the championship, the two belts, the iconic finish. He has both belts up, WrestleMania, crowd going wild, the Miracle on Bourbon Street. Awesome finish. You know, the feel-good babyface finish that we really haven't had since. All due respect to Becky at the end. It was just a weird... It wasn't the end. I meant the last, last thing you see. But would have been right there. But Daniel Bryan, like for months, was denied. Like literally, this was the fans doing. This had nothing to do with storytelling. This had nothing to do with the pen or the pencil. This had everything to do with the fans.
This is the Snyder cut in a good way.
It's a great way to put it. And under this event is probably right around the same length. So if I had to pick, I'd still watch WrestleMania 30. So the three count from both of us. I go WrestleMania 3, 31, 30. Bill, you had...
17, 19, 35.
Let us know your thoughts. Tweet at PopCulturePD if there's one of your favorite WrestleManias we didn't include. 24 is pretty darn good.
Yep.
20
is good.
20 is good. Obviously, very historical. There's a lot of other ones, obviously, in there. You know,
I like WrestleMania 8. I mean, it's just entertaining from the fact of the commentary. It's got some really good matches. Flair versus Macho Man is a great match. Mm. You know, the ending with Sid Vicious and Hulk Hogan and Papa Shango. Shango didn't get the call in time, so it was a little messed up, but it's still funny to watch.
Sid Vicious, the only guy to kick out of the leg drop to that point.
Because he had to.
He had to, which good on him. He's usually pretty, you know, known for not being the brightest. And obviously that was the return of the Ultimate Warrior also that night. Again, stuff people don't talk about because that match had no business being the main event.
Nope, they just threw it on there because it was Hulk Hogan. The main event.
Hogan, I suppose.
Yeah, should have been Flair, Macho Man, and, you know, the kiss-stealing, wheeling-dealing son of a gun was on display that night, and it was a great match.
Oh, it was a really good match. And, again, the story was great. It was all about Flair saying he had Elizabeth before Macho.
He had the pictures of her, supposedly. So
unreal. Like, talk about, like, any man, woman, child, you can buy right in and be like, that son of a gun.
And we already know Macho Man's a little bit off his rocker when it comes to Liz.
Oh, very sensitive man. Yeah, and I always forget. I don't know if they were still together. I think they were still married at this point.
Yeah.
No, yes.
No, they were.
Because I know when they got married in 91. Oh, no, that would have been
Elizabeth.
Before. Yeah. They weren't together during that.
But they got back afterwards.
Yeah, which is, well, whatever. Relationships are.
It's all weird. It's wrestling.
And it's reality, too. Yeah, R.I.P. Miss Elizabeth as well. And Hogan. I mean,
Macho Man.
And Hogan's, you know, respect. which why is he being the host of WrestleMania this year? I don't know. I'm done with him. I'm done with Hogan. I think we got to move on. Like, that should be Stone Cold's spot.
Hogan's dead to me.
Yeah, it should be Hogan's. Like, I mean, it should be Austin. Like, Austin's the guy now.
He didn't even know what building they were in one of them.
That's WrestleMania 30. Awesome. That opening, I didn't even mention that. That opening is better than some of the matches. It's the three of those guys kicking it off and just felt huge. But yeah, those are our favorite WrestleManias. Again, let us know your thoughts. You can tweet at PopCulturePD. Please do subscribe to the Pop Culture Podcast. Leave a 5-star review. It would be very helpful and make us very, very happy. And make Bill just, again, go on his OnlyFans, fans only, whichever one, and get that bottomless feed. It is incredible. It's really weird to see somebody sitting down just plopped out. But would it be a thing, though? Is there a price?
No, God, no. I have a job. I want to keep. I don't think that's something they would allow.
Well, now you're bringing the job. You're making it a little too serious, but okay. you still have a price. I bet you we could get. We figure.
I mean, as the $1 Million Man once said, everybody's got a price.
Everybody does. You can follow him at BillyD2411. I can be followed at Jason D. Rossi. The show can be followed at PopCulturePD. We will have more coverage of WrestleMania 37 coming this week. Appreciate you guys joining us. A lot of content here. A lot more to come. Have yourself a wonderful day. Enjoy WrestleMania. Bill, leave him with something just super special that makes him feel warm and cuddly inside.
Have a nice day.
Frank says hi.